Hello and welcome. My name is Declan. I'm a librarian with Kilkenny County Council Library Service and I'm based in the Local Studies Department. Today we're going to have a brief look at the history of St. Cancel's Cathedral in Kilkenny City and the adjacent Round Tower. And we are indebted for a lot of the content that I will be using today from the official guide to Kilkenny published by Kilkenny County Council and Corporation in 1969. And we're going to start a look at the Round Tower. Visitors to Kilkenny who have not travelled to Ireland to any great extent are always curious to know the purpose of the tall, slender round tower, a height of 100 feet, which stands adjacent to the south transept of the cathedral. A large number of similar towers are found throughout the country near churches and other ecclesiastical foundations. Notable examples may also be seen near Kintyre Cathedral and the ruins of the Rock of Cashel. And there's little doubt that they were built between the 8th and 11th centuries, the period of the Norse raids in Ireland, to serve the dual purpose of watchtowers and places of refuge. Provided the provisions were adequate and the door was usually well above ground level and only accessible by ladder with security held, these towers were practically impregnable and the invaders could only obtain the treasures stored within by a prolonged siege. It is also probable that beacon lights were placed at the top of the towers as a warning or distress signal to the surrounding countryside. The Kilkenny Tower has six quite wide windows at the summit. The lower ones are much smaller. No churches incorporating towers designed for use as belfries were built in Ireland until the 12th century and after the cessation of the Norse raids. Some of the round towers were used for this purpose, for example, the one by Cloyne Cathedral. The Kilkenny Tower is considered to be older than the present cathedral building. In fact, it was probably erected before 1000 AD. When the foundations were excavated, four skeletons buried in Christian fashion were discovered, which seemed to indicate that the site was formerly a Christian cemetery, probably the ancient burial ground of the first church of St. Canice. The reason for the removal of the conical cap which originally crowned the tower is not clear. Possibly it was intended to replace that of an embattled parapet similar to the one which was built onto the Kildare Tower. The Cathedral Building. Some authorities contend that the Church of St. Canice was reconstructed as a cathedral in 1192 by Felix O'Dulany, Bishop of Ossory, from 1170 to 1202. All that now remains of the building which preceded the present cathedral, however, are some foundations adjacent to the choir, which indicated that it was a substantial structure, and a few pieces of stonework ornamented in the Romanesque carving, which were incorporated into the walls of St. Cancel's steps, when these were built in 1614 to lead up to the cathedral from the road. The Gothic style of architecture did not completely supersede the Romanesque in Ireland until the middle of the 13th century. Although there are some round-headed windows in the choir, it is unlikely that even this, the oldest portion, was erected until after 1251. This would hear that Hugh de Malpeton, who was usually credited with founding it, became Bishop of Ossory. He died in 1256, and the work was probably completed before the end of the century under the auspices of his successor, Geoffrey St. Leger. The windows in the nave showed that the transition to the decorated period was already taking place before the aisles were completed. In 1332, the central tower collapsed, causing considerable damage to the choir. When this was repaired, it was not rebuilt to its former height, as the piers were apparently unable to support its weight, which accounts for the tower being unusually short and out of proportion to the rest of the building. The clerestory is exceptionally deep and has six fine quatrefoil windows on either side. The embattled parapets on the transept are original. The tower and all parapets were restored to match them. Despite the efforts made by Cromwell's soldiers when they stripped off the roof, the ancient crosses still remain on the gable ends. Some very fine stained glass was put in the windows during the 14th century. The papal envoy Rinuccini wanted to buy these windows glass for Rome, but these were all destroyed by Cromwell's followers, who also damaged many of the monuments for which nevertheless the cathedral is still famous. Some repairs were carried out after 1660 by Bishop Williams, but funds were insufficient for a proper restoration. And when Bishop Richard Pocock came to Kilkenny in 1756, he found the cathedral almost a ruin. He collected a considerable sum for repairs and also installed some costly woodwork in the choir, but it was subsequently removed as being out of keeping with the Gothic style when Sir Thomas Dean undertook the thorough restoration of the cathedral between 1863 and 1870, leaving it as near as possible to its original state. Since the removal of the wall, which partly blocked the arch between the choir and the nave, made the full length of the interior visible, the cathedral has been fully appreciated as one of the finest examples of Gothic architecture in its pristine purity. Standing in the west doorway, the visitor sees the graceful pointed arches and slender clustered columns of the nave arcades and the spacious tower arches which frame the three tall lancets in the east window as one harmonious whole. The west window is an even finer example of an early English lancet window, and there are pairs of lancets in the transepts. The fine hammer beam roofs in the nave and the transepts were constructed during the restoration of 1863 to 70, and since then nearly all the windows have once again been fitted with stained glass. At the west end of the cathedral, visitors should note the canopied gallery above the west door with its three small quatrefoil windows reached by stairs in the wall. It is believed that this was used as a reliquary. Portions of the early 14th century tomb slabs will be seen in the floor near the west door, and although damaged, enough remains to be seen some fine workmanship. The arcade of the south porch was added as a memorial to men killed in the 1914 Asian War. The black marble font under the third arch of the south nave arcade is of 12th century date and may have possibly belonged to the former building on the site. At the west end of the south aisle is the tomb of Bishop David Hackett, 1478. Next to the visitor we see that of Honorius Scartles, 1598, then the effigy of an unknown woman. Near the south door, close to the wall, lies the male effigy of Richard Butler, 1st Viscount Mountgard, 1571, and here also is the tomb of Bishop Walsh, who was murdered in 1585. In the third bay of the north aisle is the oldest dated tomb in the cathedral. The slab bears the date 1285 and the name of Henry de Ponto of Lyra, which is actually the grave of his son. Near the wall is the effigy of James Scartles, 1508, and another effigy representing Sir John Grace, 1552, which has also been badly damaged, will be seen further east. Alongside this lies a floor slab with a sculptured figure in armour of Edmund Purcell, 1549, captain of the Galloglasses, the private army of the Ormonds. The curious representation of St. Peter's cock sitting on a cooking pot should be noted. The next tomb is that of Adam Cotterell, 1550, set in an earlier base, and on a nearby wall is a memorial to Charles and Frederick Philip Boucher, who died in 1584 and 1587. On passing under the Tower of Art, visitors should look up at the fine leering grinding added to the scene by Bishop Hackett in 1465, the only piece of perpendicular work in the cathedral. The south transept is occupied by the monuments of the Butler family, dating from the 16th to the 19th century. At the southern end is a magnificent tomb altar with effigies of Piers Butler, the 8th Earl of Ormond, 1539, and his wife Margaret, and close to the wall lies the remarkable effigy of the 9th Earl of Ormond. The chapter house, which is adjacent to the south side of the choir, is entered from this transept. The north transept contains St. Kieran's chair, a black marble throne in which the Bishop of Ossory are enthroned at the consecration ceremony. St. Kieran was an early Christian bishop who is believed to be responsible for converting the Kingdom of Ossory to Christianity. The chair, which may have possibly belonged to the former church or cathedral of St. Canis, has been partially restored with new stone. An ombre will be seen in the north wall of the transept, and there is an ancient piscina on the wall of the chapel adjoining it on the south side of the choir. This may possibly have been saved when the former edifice of the site of the cathedral was demolished. The south chapel is known as the parish church and was used for Holy Communion services. The stalls, the chapel screens and the marble floor were added to the choir after the restoration of 1863 to 70. The modern redress, which consists of three white marble panels showing Christ in glory surrounded by saints and angels, was erected behind the high altar as a memorial to the third Marquess of Ormond. The effigy on the tomb against the north wall is believed to be Bishop of the Dread of 1360. The cathedral contains many fine later monuments, including a bust of Sir Denis Pack, a Waterloo commander by the famous sculptor Chantry. In 1675, new bells were given to the cathedral by Bishop Parry to replace those stolen by the Cromwellians, and when these were recast, two more were added, making a peal of aid. Some pieces of the fine service of silver gilt communion plate presented to the cathedral in 1684 formerly belonged to Christ Church in Dublin. St. Canice's Library is adjacent to the north side of the cathedral, contains more than 3,000 volumes, including some valuable 16th and 17th century works bequeathed by Bishop Otway and Bishop Morris. The passage adjacent to the east side of the cathedral was originally erected in the 14th century. It was rebuilt in 1735 and is now the headquarters of the Heritage Council of Ireland.